You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
The word comes from Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, and we will lift up verses 14 through 18. This is the first Sunday of Advent, and as you're turning to Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, verses 14 through 18, I'll be coming from the New Revised Standard Version. I want you to be mindful as far as this theme today is encapsulated in one word, hope. Somebody say hope.
Hope.
Somebody say hope.
Hope.
Jeremiah 33, 14 through 18. Text reads like this. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days, at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the same, and this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, and the Levitical priests shall never lack a man in my presence to offer burnt offerings, to make grain offerings, and to make sacrifices for all time. Pray with me. Sovereign God, we come to you right now, thanking you for your grace and your mercy, your comfort during the darkest of times. And so, God, we see that your people, the house of Israel, the house of Judah, they went through some dark times. They went through some desolate times, times that were mighty difficult for them. But in those times, you offered a word of hope. A word of hope that points to a future that leads to restoration. A promise made that this trouble won't last always. And so, Lord, we know that we live in times of trouble, but we also understand that it won't last always.
Thank you, Lord.
So, God, help us to lean on that hope, to lean on that fulfilled promise and the fulfillment of other promises to come.
Yes, Lord.
We trust you, O God, with this word. I trust you with my earthen vessel. And God, I also trust you with those that are in the waiting congregation. In Jesus' name, I pray this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Subject that I want to leave with you all this morning is entitled, Surely God has a plan. Surely, God has a plan. I don't know who needs this word, but I figured God needed to remind me that God has a plan. In a passage she wrote, Leonora Tubbs Tisdale explains that, I quote, Advent is a time for acknowledging the exilic conditions of life for those persons in our world who live in situations of injustice, who experience unrighteous hands of power over them, whether we are talking about victims of war, victims of domestic violence or human trafficking, whether we are envisioning people who feel the heel of the economic oppressor on their backs or those who bear the weight of political oppression on their heads, Advent is a time for proclaiming the promises of God, end quote. I would imagine that some of this language may resonate with us today. After all, saints of God, we are nearly a month removed, depending on one's political persuasion, from another hostile and confusion election cycle. There are parts of our world that are war-torn and on the edge of wondering if a ceasefire will hold. We bear witness to those who are foreign to us, those who live in foreign lands, yet still human, who were caught between conflicts from two opposing sides and now grieving over the lives and homes that have been destroyed. It is fair to say, family, that we are indeed living in some dark, dangerous, and destructive times. However, even during the darkest of times, whether it's self-inflicted or not, God still has a plan that will give us hope for a safe and secure future. Amen. Surely God has a plan. Surely God has a plan in the midst of all this heated contention. Surely God has a plan in the midst of death and destruction. Surely God has a plan in the midst of famine and desolation. Surely God has a plan for all the violence that keeps wreaking our communities. Surely God has a plan for the drama that exists in your homes, outside the homes, on your job, in the church, in the community, and everywhere we go. Surely God has a plan for all of this. In the text today, we have here a pericope that is a part of a section in Jeremiah called, I quote, the Book of Consolation. This section, this book, is compiled of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter through the 33rd chapter. This book of comfort and support is needed because the people of Israel and the people of Judah were exiled from their land and taken to Babylon. Now, God's people needed great consolation because of the great desolation and misery that they experienced. Here's the thing, family. God's people deserve this punishment. We got some people in our world today and in our context and in our lives that believe the punishment they go through, they don't deserve it. And then have the audacity to cry out, woe is me. I need to report to you that some things that we go through may have been some things that we inflicted ourselves. And maybe that's something you may not want to hear, but that's something that we need to hear. But you also need to hear that God's, although God's people deserve punishment, God also wanted his people to know that trouble won't last always. God didn't cause the trouble. I need to be clear about that. Israel was unfaithful. Israel was going to every god and demigod that existed in their land.
That's right.
And with my time away, I saw how people went at each other in this election. And we're all guilty. We're all guilty for raising up names in the political party called the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. We are all guilty for putting those names before Jesus Christ. I have heard those political names more than I heard somebody say that Jesus will work it out. This is not no religious posturing. This is religious truth. This is biblical truth.
Yes.
Donald Trump is not going to save you.
Yes.
Kamala Harris was never going to save you.
Yes.
The only person who made a promise years ago, that promise that he was going to save you, is God. So some people celebrate that their man won. Some people grieve that their person lost. Well, I'm letting you know today that you better be careful what you ask for. Because even God can use the very things that human minds and hearts hope for as an instrument for our punishment. And to be clear, I'm not taking Donald's side or Kamala's side. I'm taking Jesus' side, like we should have been doing the whole entire time. Surely God has a plan. Because I believe dark days are coming. There are great men and women I highly respect that forecasted this. Not necessarily who was going to win, but forecasted that surely some hard times are ahead of us. But during these hard times, we hope and pray for quick relief. I'm just trying to prepare you now. If you ever been through something, you hope and pray for quick relief. God, I don't want this to last forever. God, I need this to be over yesterday. God, it hurts right now. And during those moments when it's hard, unfortunately, we are vulnerable to those who will prey on us and take advantage of our desolation and misery and give us a false word of hope that did not even come from God. When people, y'all wanted me back. I'm just going to be truthful. When people can't wait on God's plan to come into fulfillment, they will manufacture a lie or lies to make themselves look good while in the process of making God's true prophets and God out to be liars. For Jeremiah 29, 10 through 11, the Bible says, "For thus says the Lord." If you want to know when it came from God, in Jeremiah's text and many other prophets, you know, they always say, "For thus says the Lord." They will never say, "I said that it came from God." No, "thus says the Lord." Only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. Now, verse 11 is what we like to quote all the time. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for you, for your welfare, and not to harm, to give you a future with hope." And so the reason why I quote this and the reason why I made that previous statement, because this particular scripture in Jeremiah 10 through 11 comes off the heels of some folk in the community in Babylon talking about that instead of the captivity being 70 years, it's only going to be 2 years. Now, let's be honest. 2 years of captivity sounds better than 70, right? Don't get quiet on me. Let me try it again. 2 years of captivity sounds better than 70 years of captivity. Oftentimes in our vulnerability, when we're miserable, when we're tired and sick and tired of going through something that's so hard, we want the quickest route out. I have learned even through my own personal experiences that sometimes, baby, there's no quick route out. Sometimes you got to go through all 70 years of what God planned in order for God to get you to your eventual restoration. But sometimes people will rush restoration and rush things because they know that you're vulnerable and you want to hear something good. God didn't call us to tell you what you want to hear. God called us so you can be prepared to receive a word that you need to hear.
That's right.
Hold on, it's going to be a bumpy ride, whether it's 4 years or 8 years or 12 years. Sometimes we need to realize that most folk that want to give you a word of hope is only feeding off of your vulnerability and making God to be a liar. This declaration from Jeremiah comes at the heels of some false prophets from people who were not called by God, telling the people of God that instead of 70 years of captivity, it would only be 2 years of captivity. And continuing to give this false word ultimately gave some people false hope in the midst of their captivity. And it's very perplexing, and it's very tragic in a way that we have people that live in our time that would do such a thing to us. But surely God has a plan. Surely God has a plan that even though I'm receiving a false word, surely God has a plan that although it's going to be 70 years instead of 2 years, surely God has a plan. And this wasn't surely like I'm questioning God, like God won't come through. This is a surely saying I'm certain God has a plan for whatever I'm going through right now. Now, somebody needs to hear it because you ain't got it yet. Some of you been going through the worst season of your life. And maybe I don't need to just point at you. Maybe I need to point at me. Worst season of my life. Started 2024 off with COVID-19. Thought I was better, got flu. Then next thing I know, in August, lost my brother. Injured my foot. Developed blood clots. Blood clots hit my lungs, almost killed me. Then losing all of my cardiovascular strength. Going through a lot, going through some hard times. Yes, I even sat and laid down and said, God, when am I going to be through with all this? Then it was after Jeremiah's text that lets me know that trouble won't last always. Sometimes we will manufacture a false word. Sometimes we will indulge false hope. But God doesn't want us to indulge false hope. God wants us to hold on to God's unchanging hands. That even I'm going through the fire, even I'm going through this and that, I know that God will never leave nor forsake you and I. And so, in the midst of all this, I just need to tell you just this one thing, and I'm done. Got 5 minutes because I've been timing myself. The plan, 15 minutes or less. 5 minutes, that'd be 15 minutes. I'm doing this in five. Text says in verse 15, in those days, at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Verse 16 says, in those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. 17 and 18 says, for thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, and the Levitical priest shall never lack a man in my presence to offer burnt offerings, to make grain offerings, to make sacrifices for all time. One point I just simply want to make. It may look dead, but it ain't dead yet. I didn't come back after almost a month and a half for y'all to act like that ain't sound good. It may look dead, but it ain't dead yet. Surely God has a plan. It may look dead. No, maybe you need to wake your neighbor up and tell your neighbor, neighbor, it may look dead, but it ain't dead yet. It may look dead, but it ain't dead yet. Look, text says, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David. At this point, the Davidic line looked to be surely dead. In fact, cut off. And it looked much like an old stump. Had many of you, I remember the one and only time I cut down a tree in my backyard. It was already decrepit. And I said, I'm going to go ahead and cut it down anyway. My wife remember it. It was the closest tree to our house. You remember that, baby? It was, I forgot what the name of the tree was. Huh? Crabapple tree, that's exactly what it was. And it was falling apart. And I said, you know what? I'm going to cut it down. And I did. And I cut it down to the stump. Now, the stump ain't there no more. But many of us have seen trees cut down to the stump. We've even seen people grind it down so there's no more evidence of the stump. Oh, somebody about to get it. Aren't you glad that David's lineage was not grinded away? It did not decay away, but it went down to the stump. What I also learned about trees and plant life is that text says a branch will spring or shoot up from David. So from this stump, Minister Tamika, that looks dead, God promises that I'm going to raise something up out of it. Oh, you ain't getting it. I'm in this situation, and goodness gracious, it looks dead. How in the world can I find restoration out of all this mess? But then all of a sudden, God springs up new life. Some of you should have been dead. Let me put it like this. Some of you been in situations where you should have died.
All right.
Some of you may have been laying down. And doctor said it's only days, months that you may have left. But God said, I'm going to spring something up. And in this text, as we visit an account of people in exile, depression, defeat, and destruction, it looks bad, but God makes a promise and says it may look dead, but it ain't dead. In other words, it looks like it's deprived. It looks like it's deprecated. It looks like it's unusable. How many people have looked at you and said you're unusable? How many people have said that it's over for you? But God said, I'm about to spring something up. Somebody need to preach to themselves and say, it ain't over yet. God surely has a plan. And so out of this stump, God brings up and shoots up a new branch. God says, I got a new tree for you. And it's going to spring up for David. And this new branch is going to execute justice and righteousness in the land. God says that God has let us know that Donald Trump, Kamala Harris, Republicans, Democrats, independents, doctors, lawyers, political parties will not be able to execute the justice and righteousness that we seek.
That's right.
But God said, I already had in store for someone that I shoot up from this stump to be the righteous branch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this righteous branch will execute justice and righteousness.
Yeah, yeah.
This righteous branch will ensure that you will feel safe in the land and in the home and in the communities that you exist. This righteous branch will make sure that we all can live together as one body in Christ.
Yes, yes.
This righteous branch will ensure that we will look to the hills from which cometh our help, knowing our help cometh from the Lord. This righteous branch will remind us that there are times we need deliverance, and this righteous branch is our Savior.
Yes.
This righteous branch is the one that God rose up that reminds us that David will never lack a man on the throne, and that the Levitical priest will never lack a person offering burnt offerings, grain offerings, and sacrifice offerings. Why is that? Because Jesus, they missed their cue. Jesus. I told my wife I was going to sit down, but I got to stand up. You didn't hear me. Text says that God makes a promise. God makes a promise, and God tells Israel, and God tells us today, that he's going to raise up a branch from something that looked dead. And because it looks dead, doesn't mean it's over. Mm-mm. I need you to look down. Look, most folk will come into church and look at empty spaces and say, it's not full, it's dead. I don't look at empty spaces and say it looks dead. About to spring up new life, new membership, new hope, new opportunities. It ain't over. Most folk will tell you that it is over, but God made a promise, and through 40 and two generations, from Abraham to David, that's 14 generations. From David to the deportation to Babylon, that's another 14 generations. from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. That's 14 generations. But before I go, the old preachers used to say, through 40 and two generations. 14 plus 14 plus 14 is 42. 40 and two generations. Jesus Christ is the righteous branch that shoots up from what looked dead. And Jesus Christ rose up to be the final king and the only king. Y'all better stop serving Donald Trump like he's king. Y'all better stop serving political parties like they are your emperors. There's only one king. Jesus is the king. Jesus is the everlasting king. Not Barack Obama, not Kamala Harris, not George Bush, not Joe Biden, not Donald Trump. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Surely God has a plan. And God's plan is rested in Jesus being the King of all time. And this King that God rose up is a permanent King. This priest that God puts in place is a permanent priest. In other words, there's no one after Jesus. You're going to have somebody that will call himself priest this and priest that. No, Jesus is the final king. And Jesus is the final priest. He is going to make it right in a world where we're living wrong, in a world that has been going wrong, in a world that has been bitter, in a world that has been destructive, in a world that has lost their minds. Jesus will make it right. You've run into roadblocks, people lying on you, tearing down your name. Jesus will make it right. And God's plan is not a plan to harm you. God's plan is a plan to supersede the lies and be able to lead you to a promising future where when you get to that future, you're not going to thank the person next to you. You're not going to thank a political party, but you're going to stand up on your feet and declare praise be to God that it is God who gave me hope. It was God who helped me through the lies. It is God who delivered me. Surely God has a plan. Stand to your feet.